Anita, you're very welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
Absolutely delighted to have you on the show as well. So to start off, will you tell us a little bit, Anita, about the work that you do at SmartLab Skellig and the Future Focus 21C Edu?
Yeah. So SmartLab Skellig is a split site. It's a host research hub of SmartLab Research Institute, which is affiliated to UCD. And their work has always been technology for social change. And we were invited to come to Kerry by an organisation called Living Evra. And that we were invited really to look at how communities kind of, we could support people to learn, think differently, work differently, because we've always been involved in sort of tech-based work. And then from that, Future Focus is a locally scaled SME. They're very intimately linked, but it was developed because it can be more agile than maybe what, you know, a large scale institution can be, especially when it's 300 almost kilometres away.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it sounds really, really interesting. We're always hearing, I suppose, maybe about the future of work, maybe, and the future skills that might be needed. Can you explain to us, Anita, maybe why it's so important that we do prepare for those future skills that will be needed for the workforce as we look, I suppose, ahead to the next 10 or 20 years or so?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of what we've always been looking at is futures, but also the gaps between, you know, so very much looking at education real world challenges that will build skills in a different way. So it's very much about capacity building. Also, I think in terms of future skills, you know, people often talk about, you know, oh, X percent of jobs won't be done the same way they're done, you know, in the future. And I'm like, 100% of jobs now are not done the way they were done a few years ago. So I think the rate of change is faster maybe than most people, you know, might be presently aware. And I think because we're going to be facing a lot of very complex challenges, you know, there's no one field or skill or discipline that will be able to address those challenges. So we need to be starting to think about future skills, perhaps in a different way. And I think for us, really, it's not so much about, oh, you need to do it like this, or you need to do it like that. It's about building future skills by supporting people to think differently and also navigate change and uncertainty in a much more responsive rather than reactive way.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I know you have something that's called the STEAM Train, the Trainer Programme. Can you tell us a little bit about that maybe and its work and maybe helping us to prepare or maybe to know what skills need to be developed into the future, Anita?
Yeah. So one of the things, our work has always been about education, training, research, community, regional development. So it integrates a lot of that. And we've been here, we came in 2018. One of the things that we've been working a lot with young people and communities, but we've sort of reached capacity. And when we tried to see about engaging more people, there was a bit of a mismatch of skills that are currently here and what might be needed in the future. And that's not to say there aren't fantastic skills here. And there's a lot of people who are already, you know, doing the what they used to call portfolio skill set, doing multiple things. So we're looking at how can we integrate them. And part of what we were doing with SmartLab Skellig was, could we build an ecology and an ecosystem around this work? So it became very logical that the next stage would be to build a program where we can start to train people. And it's not just in STEAM education, which I can talk a little bit about as well. It's the integration of the STEAM with futures literacy and future skills, and also climate and sustainability literacy. So that's what's probably a little bit different about our program. And we really want to support people where we can actually start to employ more people locally.
That's fantastic to hear. I suppose you mentioned as well that the STEAM education there, will you just give us a brief overview of what that involves? I suppose just in case anyone listening isn't familiar with it, because I know obviously our listeners will be very familiar with STEM as well, but just I suppose explain the difference maybe.
Yeah. So I think, you know, with STEAM, it's still science, technology, engineering, and then within it is the arts and humanities and mathematics. And the difference is a lot of people will often use the arts to maybe help illustrate difficult concepts or scientific, technological, engineering concepts. But STEAM, you're actually also teaching the skills of design, design thinking, futures thinking, critical thinking, how to really creatively and imaginatively address problems integrating the arts with the science technology. So it's a much more holistic approach, and you're also teaching those art and design skills as well as STEM knowledge content and STEM skills.
Brilliant. And I suppose when we talk about education then, Anita, like obviously it plays an important role when we are preparing for the future of work. But can you talk us through, I suppose, the benefits of having that education behind you, I suppose, and how it will benefit or improve the skills that people are learning that will obviously enhance their abilities when we look to the future and we look to the workforce and what skills might be needed there?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of it is very much, first of all, confidence and competence. You know, I think really coming back to that idea of a more uncertain world, we won't be able to predict the future. You know, we won't be able to say jobs will be this, jobs will be that. But by training people in this way, they already begin to internalize this idea of confidence and competence to try things that maybe aren't there. Also, there's a lot of processes within art and design that help us make sense of things in a way that maybe just pure knowledge can't do. I think as well, one of the things that we're trying to do within our program, because it's integrated, it's actually getting people to think not just what skills or knowledge they have, but how can they apply it systemically, differently, not just in a sort of a more linear approach. You know, people often talk about circular design, circular economics, and this is very much looking at a whole system in a circular way, as well as like, you have 2 seconds, here's this problem, what resources do you have? And those resources aren't just physical, they're also internal. You know, what people often think of the soft skills, but actually they're often the hardest to teach, and they need to be learned through doing and practice and application.
Yeah, absolutely. They certainly do. I think you'll know yourself, but I know a lot of our listeners will know as well, Anita, that we are quite an innovative county here in Kerry. We've lots going on, which is obviously hugely important. But as you look to the future and we look at that innovation, how vital is it that it continues to grow and maybe adapt and evolve to the changing times that we're living in?
I think it's critical. And the thing that I always want to really put forward is, you know, Kerry is full of innovation, but it might not always be perceived externally as that way. And I think what we're really strong in really promoting is it doesn't, and in fact, it shouldn't look like Dublin or Silicon Valley. You know, it actually can really emerge out of what already exists. And for us, that's very much bringing in place-based, local values, local concerns. It's not just about tech startups, and it's not just about certain types of innovation, if that makes sense. And I think Kerry is so well placed because I think, you know, during COVID, people really saw where you could have that work-life balance.
They certainly did. Yeah, that's a very good point. And I suppose something as well that we constantly are talking about and businesses are making great strides in is their own sustainability journeys now as well. And I know that's something that you've been doing as well, Anita, because you've been awarded the B Corp status. For anyone maybe that isn't familiar with that, can you explain to us, first of all, just what it means maybe and some of the steps that you took maybe to get there?
Yeah, I mean, I think for B Corp generally, it's like a shortcut, you know, it builds sort of trust, responsibility. People are beginning to understand, if you are B Corp, that you're committed to doing business in a way that's, you know, it's good for people, it's good for locality, place, and long term, as well as bigger picture challenges like sustainability. It's very much, you have certain verified standards that you have to meet in social and environmental impact. You have to be accountable, be very transparent. And it's very much when you're going through the process, you know, they don't just look at how you make decisions. It's how you make decisions within the location, the locality of where you are. And they're slightly different because we were going in as an educational company that is also environmental, and it was built to be that integrated approach to doing business. So for us, even though it was quite a long process because we're a small organization, it was really worth doing because it helped us show very, very quickly, here's who we are, here's how we do business, and here's our values.
Yeah, and it's a great recognition to get as well. And it's an important one for the business because it stands to you into the future as well, and the future success of your own business as well, which is fantastic to see.
Yeah, no, it was we were really pleased. We were really pleased when we got it.
I can imagine it's a fantastic achievement. We mentioned earlier, Anita, as well, about Kerry being very innovative, I suppose, and you know, the need for that to evolve, I suppose, and to continue and to thrive into the future as well. When it comes to maybe, you know, learning and research and enterprise, what kind of opportunities are there here in this county for people as we look to the future?
Well, I think for us, we've very much always, because we're coming out of research, for us, it was very much around place-based research, education, innovation, and what actually does sustainable enterprise really mean? I think particularly being an island nation, rural and coastal contexts are going to be so relevant in the future. You know, they're not marginal outliers, if that makes sense. You know, they actually define the centre. And I think there's real opportunities for Kerry where learning, research, enterprise, and values and place really can come together. I think also, I find when I moved here, there's so much generosity of spirit within Kerry. And I think it's a great place for, you know, it can be like a testing ground, it can be like a living lab. And I think there's a lot of potential to be a model for other regions, and not just necessarily regions in Ireland. We also work a lot globally and internationally and connect with rural, or what might be seen historically maybe or traditionally as marginal communities, but actually, as I said, are coming much more into the centre. And for us, we also have an inclusive design lens, so we're very much like, if you work in a way where the edges are considered critically important, not only does the middle come for free, but you make it better for everyone, not just those at the edges or those in the cities, you know. So that's, I think there's great opportunity there for Kerry. Now, there are very specific technologies, you know, whether there's within agriculture or marine or health well-being. I think really it's only as limited as the creativity and curiosity that people begin to apply to the opportunities.
Yeah, that's fantastic to hear. Just before we finish up, Anita, if anyone listening wants to kind of find out a little bit more about the work that you're doing, or, you know, just a little bit about who you are, I suppose, how can they get in touch with you, or what's the best way to do that?
So if they want to find out, you know, about the, you know, Smart Lab Skelligs or Future Focus, they can email hello@futurefocus21c.com. They can visit the website, which is the same. We're also on Instagram and LinkedIn and Facebook, Future Focus again, 21C. And then if they want to find out specifically about the STEAM Train the Trainer program, they can email steam@futurefocus21c.com. And we're always open to, you know, people reaching out, because we're really interested in collaboration.
Fantastic. Well, it sounds great, and continued success with the work that you're doing. But Anita, thanks so much for coming on the show this evening. It's been lovely to talk to you.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.